Tim Brando is with us from Fox Sports. So we've hunted him down. Tim, I got to tell you, you shared with me you're out at the hardware store. You know, Pete Shepard is a poor excuse for a man. He's been to a hardware store twice in his life, doesn't even know what a wall anchor is. I mean, it's so embarrassing.
Wow.
Honestly, Pete, I'm right there with you. It's Home Depot, to be honest, where I was. And, you know, I know exactly where the manure is. I pick it up all the time. And that and the right color of pink and white flowers and that kind of thing, which my wife always has to have this time of year. So, you know, that thankfully, our government sees that place as an essential, so it was open and I was able to take care of it for her today.
Good for you. You got to spruce up the chateau.
I wanted you to do a play-by-play of your journey into Home Depot because that, you know, a lot of people are doing that, and being the excellent play-by-play person that you are, I thought it might have been amusing, but I was shot down.
Brando is fading out of his old dilapidated van, making sure he's got his sun shades on and his visor down, trying to maintain anonymity. Now he sees some pressure coming off the periphery to the right-hand side. There's a closet fan of Ohio State that's making a move on him. He bootlegs to the left. It's a naked bootleg, and he's able to find his tight end over the middle, get free of the football so that he can make his way near his wife and get the hell away from the fans. By the way, sports has been put on pause, and these fans need to know it.
Very good.
Oh, that is outstanding.
Very classic. Outstanding. A Tim Brando classic. Now, Timmy B, what was it like for you a week and a half ago? You're broadcasting conference tournament games. Some of the countries conferences are deciding we're going to still play, but with fans. Others are canceling outright. We don't know what's going on. Mark Emmert was the last one on board to decide what to do with the March Madness tournament. Mm-hmm. Give us your perspective at the moment when you learned this is not happening anymore. We're not doing this.
Well, as it turned out, you know, I'm the answer to a Sports Jeopardy question. You know, I'll take the college basketball for 200, Alex.
Yeah.
All right. The question is, name the man, not named Jim Nance, who called the last college basket in the 2020 season. Who is Jim Brando?
Timmy B.
Thank you.
Yes. Creighton and St. John's will always be attached to your name.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bizarre set of circumstances. And frankly, as I was walking, oh, we stay in a hotel that's within walking distance of the garden, and as we were walking up there, I just thought to myself, this is a ghost town. I can't imagine that we're going to play. We knew the situation with Gobert at this point because the NBA had already pulled the plug the night before. But the conferences at the moment that I woke up and I began to walk over, which was at about 10 o'clock in the morning for a noon start, they, for the time being, were all playing. In fact, at 10:30, the ACC commissioner, John Swofford, where I had been for many, many years. This was the first year I'd ever done the Big East tournament, so I was a little excited. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're my age and you get to do something for the first time, you get a little bit giddy. Mm-hmm. For years, I'd done the ACC for Raycom and, in fact, took it off the air at the ACC championship last year. So Swofford says at 10:30 they're playing. The Big Ten says they're playing. Players are out on the floor warming up at all these sites, Indianapolis, Greensboro, the Garden, and all the other conferences that were still playing. And I think there were 19 that began on that Wednesday night college basketball conference tournaments. And I'm thinking, no, I just can't imagine we play. And then I hear from my guys in the truck that are producing, hey, they're calling them off the floor in Indy. They're calling them off the floor in Greensboro. And we're 5 minutes away from coming on the air, and everybody's on the floor, and the national anthem's been sung. There's 200 fans from Creighton, 200 fans from St. John's, the cheerleaders and the pep bands, and it looks like we're going to go.
Yeah.
So we came on the air, and I believe said something along the lines of, for now, we're still playing at the world's most famous arena, albeit relatively empty. Mm-hmm. So I was throwing caution to the wind that we might not actually play or finish. And as it turned out, I was right on the second part of that. But once the game got started, you know, it's a ball game. You immerse yourself in it, and the product was actually quite good. We had a great game going. St. John's was up 3. There's a kid from Creighton, a walk-on, that was having the half of his life. He scored 8 points and 3 assists, a walk-on by the name of Jet Canfield. I'll never forget that kid. He scored more points in that half than he had all season.
Yeah.
And yet the plug is pulled at halftime. So I felt bad for those kids like that, and a little disappointed that a good game was halted to some extent, you know, in the moment. But as I said when we came on the air, I was frankly surprised that we played any time. And if, you know, you look at the big picture and you knew that something more, much more important was taking place. But remember now, at the time that we stopped playing, the NCAA tournament was still on. Yeah. It would be hours later before Mark Emmert would pull the plug. And he only pulled the plug after both Duke and Kansas, as institutions, put out statements that they were not going to participate in the NCAA tournament. So, they were the latest to make a decision. And, you know, frankly, I think a lot of Val Ackerman, I think a lot of all the commissioners of the college conferences, and I know how difficult it must have been for them. There's no manual on how to handle an international pandemic. But in the case of Val, I think, you know, they don't have football in the Big East. This is their Super Bowl. To call that off was going to mean that was going to affect a lot of lives, but lives had already been affected. To some extent, I cannot imagine that, you know, if you weren't at the Garden and you weren't a part of it as we were, and if you were watching at home, even if you were entertained by the game, people at home had to be saying, why are they playing? You know, I mean, that probably would have been my view if I had not been, you know, in the middle of it. So the optics from a public relations standpoint had to be pretty bad, I think, for the Big East. And that's one of the reasons why they abruptly called it to a halt, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Tim, I've been a Big East fan from the get-go, coming from the Northeast, and my beloved Friars are supposed to play in the second game. But I was one of those people. I was in studio with Craig and Chris, and I am screaming at the TV, and I'm cussing Val Ackerman up and down, saying, what in God's name are you waiting for? Because they were, by far, they were last. And then I was going to ask you, you know, if you saw it was – was she even at the Garden? Or what about Stu Jackson? Was he around, the executive director for men's basketball?
Rick Gentile, my old boss at the CBS, who is the communications head for, you know, handles he's a liaison to Fox and handles a lot of other of the material that they do digitally, and is a wonderful guy, great broadcaster, was the executive producer of the Olympics as he was leaving CBS in Japan, as I recall. And I my first NCAA basketball tournament I called when Rick was executive producer in 1996 at CBS. He was there, and he left his position shortly before tip. So I thought he was on the phone, probably with Val, and trying to get an okay as to whether we were really going to go ahead and go through with this. Val was not there. I think she was in constant conversation with, based on what she said in her press conference, with de Blasio and all of the New York City people, whether it be the NYPD, the fire department, you know, everyone involved with the city of New York. And I think they were all, to be perfectly honest with you, Pete, I think they were all on an island, trying to do what they thought was best. You know, we hear that old cliche, politics is always local. And I think this decision that was thrust upon all the commissioners was made local because the head of the NCAA had just undercut them the day before by making this grandiose statement about the NCAAs will go on, but with lack of access for fans. And they did that on the very day when these tournaments were beginning and fans were, you know, I mean, packed houses at the Garden for St. John's Georgetown, big crowds in Greensboro. North Carolina was playing in the opening round for the first time in forever. And they were made to look bad by Emmert, who has not taken the time to call and get on a conference call with any of these commissioners. Yeah. I mean, there was no, no consensus taken by the president of the NCAA with any of the commissioners of these conferences. It just points out, again, I think, look, ultimately the right decisions were made and basketball was called off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But how we got there is what the problem is. And mm-hmm. how we got there was everyone was acting on their own.
Right.
No one was communicating with anyone of power. I mean, these conferences, I believe, deserve to hear from the head of the NCAA as to what he's doing before they make any decisions about what they're doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But for him not to take the time to involve them in his decision-making process just shows you the arrogance of Mark's approach as a leader. And, you know, I've been crying for a long time about the problems we have both in college football and in college basketball, about the lack of stability and lack of uniform approaches to the way decisions are made off the floor, off the field, and on. We need, a czar for college basketball. We need a czar for college football. We need somebody that's looking at it from 30,000 feet and saying, guys, this is just not going to work.
Agree with you 1,000%.
Because if you're involved in it the way you're involved in it, and it becomes a myopic decision, then you're not understanding what's going on in the world around you. And I think that's the issue. And it's true in every aspect of intercollegiate athletics, whether we're dealing with a pandemic or we're dealing with, you know, the way we go about choosing the four teams to play in the college football playoff. We just have major, major problems in governance and leadership.
Yes,
in intercollegiate athletics.
Tim Brando is with us here. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Agree with all of that. Your gut feeling today, March 24th, about the feasibility of a football season starting on time. We've heard some athletic directors say the model of playing in empty 100,000-seat stadiums does not work for us.
Well, I'll tell you what, the model of not being paid what Fox pays and what ESPN pays is not going to work either.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That's you know, true. they just lost, what was it, $1 billion on the NCAA tournament. From what I understand, some conferences are choosing not to take the money and some are choosing to take the money. I was told, I'm not sure, but I was told that they were going to roll the contract over one more year. I think the exit year for the NCAA is 2032 for Turner and CBS. And Turner pays 80% of this thing. Mm-hmm. CBS only pays 20% of the freight.
Wow.
But if they were just going to extend it by another year, but pay the money off. It was, I think, the option was given to the leagues as to whether they wanted to take the money now or wait, whatever was up to that. That's what I've been told. Now, it may not be true. That's not even close to the lost revenue that we're talking about if they don't play football. And, based on what we're hearing from our president right now, who knows?
Right.
But based on what we're hearing from him, he wants to get the country back up and running again in a matter of weeks, not months.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that if we're looking at sometime in late April or May, we're to a point where baseball is getting close to resumption, then I think football will be fine. Yeah. And football needs to be fine because you talk about, losing the NCAA tournament was tough. It was tough on a lot of people. But you're not going to get that as much pushback on that decision based on the serious nature of where the pandemic was at that time,
yeah,
and the decision was made. But if we lose a college football season, and you're talking about calling off an entire college football season, listen, the heartland of America and the Deep South, short of Louisiana, are areas that have really not been that impacted by the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Okay? In the middle of – check the numbers on places like Nebraska – And Alabama and Georgia, it's not a big deal. It's just not.
Yeah.
Even now, it doesn't. People are being careful, but the numbers are just not where they are in the hot spots like Washington, California, New York, and as I said, in Louisiana. And much of Louisiana's problem is based only in Orleans and Jefferson Parish because of the Mardi Gras. The timing of the Mardi Gras, given where the virus was just awful.
Yeah.
And I think that, along with New Orleans being one of the major ports in our country, all that figures into the issues they're having. We have very few in Northwest Louisiana where I live. Everyone's adhering to, I think, the guidelines that have been set forth by everyone in Washington to this point, and I'm proud to say that. I noticed today, even at the Home Depot, everyone was keeping their distance. There were no handshakes, no elbow bumps, none of that. Yeah. People were courteous but respectful of what we've been required to do. You take away college football, we're talking about major pushback.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
you take it away, I mean, I really don't think it'll get to that point, but if it were to get there, fellas, I think you would. There would be major upheaval in a lot of places, and the networks would be in a very difficult spot. They want to get back to work, and they certainly want to get their football seasons together because of the enormity of the financial circumstances that, for what they pay for the NFL, for what they pay for the Big Ten and the SEC. I mean, we're talking. That's where, you know, a lot of us. Baseball's great, don't get me wrong, but look how many people in sports media are off during June, July, and August.
Right,
that's when everybody takes time off. But maybe by the last 2 weeks of August and September, we're all in place, and it's time to get ready to go.
Absolutely, right.
That's where the financial bread is buttered in sports television.
Tim, it is good to hear your voice, a little bit of normal sports talk back here, and this time we'll be in touch throughout. Thank you very much, and I'll let you get back to your honeydews with Mrs. Brando.
Actually, you guys were providing a service once I got home.
Now, don't make it a habit like me of going to Home Depot. Just kind of, you know, find an excuse.
Right, exactly. Tim, thanks so much.
Good to be with both of you, and anytime, just reach out. I'll always be here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Tim Brando from Fox Sports, everybody. Appreciate that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.